SRN.
1690 AM, Riverside, Iowa, and around the world on the Stardust Radio Network. www.stardustradio.com.
Are you looking for an internet radio station with a unique blend of talk radio and an eclectic musical flavor? Join Stardust Radio today at www.stardustradio.com, where talent and technology meet.
Recent revelations in the news have revealed an unacceptable picture of the way our government treats our veterans. We have a moral and ethical obligation to our veterans to ensure they receive quality and accessible health care. Sadly, we have fallen short of this goal. And this is Willie Nelson asking everyone across the nation to unite for the common good of our veteran population. Together, we can do so much better.
www.offe2008.org.
Veterans Resolve with host Gerald Cook.
Yes, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the SVR broadcast this 27th day of August 2008, and we're here with Lisa Hercliffe Covington, and she is the director and founder of SPEAK. And that's Suicide Prevention, Educational, and Awareness for Kids. So, Lisa, you in there with us?
Yes, I am.
Would you like to tell the audience a little bit about your program there?
Yeah, what I'd like to do is start by thanking you, Mr. Cook, for having me on your program. I would like to tell the audience that I am a survivor. I lost my sister, Lori, 17 years ago. She shot herself when she was 28. And I've been working for 17 years now in the area of suicide prevention. Today I'm a public speaker, I'm a published writer, I'm an activist, and I'm fighting for the safety of our young people and Maryland's spokesperson for suicide prevention, as well as the founder of SPEAK, Suicide Prevention Education Awareness for Kids. And when I'm speaking, I always tell my audience that every negative situation has something positive that one day will evolve. When a person is suicidal, they enter a dark tunnel. Unfortunately, they're not seeing the light at the end of that tunnel. But there is the light at the end of that tunnel, and that's what my organization stresses to people when we're speaking to them. One life lost also is one too many, and we want them to know there is that light. I didn't know, Mr. Cook, if you wanted me to give some stats. I have some stats here and didn't know if you wanted me to do that.
Would, please, because... You know, not too much of this news is brought out by the mainstream news media, and so that leaves it up to us to cover it and be sure, you know, we cover all the, and get to all the facts and details we can.
Hey, the stats that I have here are suicide is the 11th cause of death in the U.S. For every two homicides in the U.S., there are three suicides, which is incredible. A lot of people don't know that. For every suicide, there are at least 20 attempts. Guns are the number one method used to complete suicide, and hangings are second. Guns are used in more suicides also than homicides. Every 1 hour and 53 minutes in the U.S., we lose another young person by suicide. That's a Columbine a day. Suicide is the fifth leading cause of death among 5-year-olds to 14-year-olds. We are losing, you know, young children by suicide, which people don't even know that. Suicide is the third leading cause of death among those 15 to 24 years of old. And the rate of suicide in men, 65-plus, is 7 times that of females who are 65-plus. And in our state, Mr. Cook, I'm very proud of our state. Speak, my organization, has made major strides in the area of suicide prevention, bullying, and mental health issues in Maryland. I spearheaded an effort that was successful in getting emergency phones and the Maryland Crisis Hotline number, which is a 1-800-422-0009, number placed on the Chesapeake Bay and the Francis Scott Key bridges in Maryland, which gives jumpers one last lifeline to grasp. Speak is working right now on expanding the phones and hotline numbers, this project, to be on other Maryland bridges at this time. So we want to expand this, not just on those two. We want to move it over to all the bridges so that that people going on these bridges are safe. And this has been a really, really big accomplishment, I feel, in the state of Maryland. Speak also has been successful in having the Maryland Youth Crisis Hotline number, which is the 1-800-422-0009 number, printed on 7 counties and the city's student photo ID cards. The Maryland Youth Crisis Hotline number addresses, like, all issues. It's not just a suicide hotline, which is very, very unique. It addresses issues from drugs, eating disorders, relationship issues, sexual abuse, to bullying, which, if not addressed, can and does lead to suicide. And there are people that answer the phone 24 hours a day. So the reason that we're able to get this number out there is because if, let's just say, a young person comes home from a date and they're having a problem, and after the date there's nobody, and they come in the house and there's nobody to talk to, that number is available to them 24 hours a day, and there is someone they can talk to, and that is, it's critical. This number has saved thousands of people, young and old, you know, in our state, from completing suicide or when they have all these issues. But as I stressed before, if we don't address these issues, it can and does lead to suicide. So Speak has also worked on anti-bullying legislation in Maryland that was passed for the first time in our state. And that's something that we found out that is linked to suicide. Bullying can be linked to suicide. It is not just the bullies that are the kids being bullied, but the bullies themselves that are completing suicide as well. So we want to get into the schools. We want to address bullying. We want to see what can we do. Other states are working on legislation as well, and I think this is something critical to with suicide prevention, that this is addressed. Because if we don't address it, as a, you know, it can lead into the suicide.
What is the success rate, I mean, on the, how many calls do you deal with a month?
Okay, I do not deal with these calls. It is a hotline that my organization has pushed for probably close to now 13 years now. And the hotline gets thousands and thousands and thousands of calls. And as I said, it is not just, kids that can call in. It's parents. There are people that are in crisis in any way that can call in. And it's wonderful because we were also able to get that number put on the bridges, because when you're up on that bridge and you have a jumper up there, you know, they may see that number and it may trigger them to say, you know what, you know, I'm going to call for help, or I'm going to pick this one phone up and try to, you know, just make one more call, and then we'll get them to, you know, someone to talk them down. We get the police up there to talk them down. So there, you know, this all sort of works together with everything.
Oh yes, I can imagine. Do you know the success rate or the percentage of calls that come in that they've been successful? I imagine that would be hard data to put together, though.
I think it's probably hard because a lot of these calls have to be confidential. If they would think, I guess, that somebody is right at that point critical to kill themselves, I know that they would have to do some kind of intervention. But when you call, you have, you know, there's that, they, you know, they have to respect the privacy of that individual calling in. So we kind of have that Privacy Act that we have to abide by. But I know for a fact that this number has saved thousands and thousands, as I said, of people. And it's interesting because, I mean, I've been at schools and I've talked to kids and or teens, and I'd say, oh, do you have your card, your photo ID card? And they pull it out, you know. And these are like, even middle school kids are now getting into it. And it's like they look at it as a driver's license or something they're very proud of. And so with security reasons as well in schools, I think it's critical that we start having kids carry some kind of photo ID, especially since Columbine. So, you know, that is something, and there's a lot of room on a lot of these cards that are unoccupied space that we need to put something on there that would be able to help, you know, a child or a you know, teen in need or crisis or anything that we want to put on there. But I think this is critical to put something like this hotline number on, as well as in other states. They could put on the 1-800-TALK. They could put on any of these numbers on their kids' photo ID cards, because not all states have a hotline that is, you know, geared directly to their state as we do. And I'm very proud of that, because, you know, we are one state that has done this, and I think all states should think about that in the future.
Oh, yes, you're absolutely right. At what age limit is the cutoff between a child committing suicide and a child accidental death through whatever reason?
When you say cutoff, what are we? Can you just tell me a little more? Are we saying that age-wise, or
a child 5, 6, 7 years old?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they know 6 and 7 years old can complete suicide. They also could die by accidental deaths as well, by shootings usually. But it's interesting, because when you go into those stats, you're going to hear you and compare the accidentals versus the suicide, you're going to have a massively high rate of the suicides versus the accidentals. So, and people, just as I said before, are not even believing we can lose children as young as 5 and 6, you know, by suicide. And I just wanted to say also, we go out, Mr. Clark, and we talk to doctors, nurses. We include emergency room nurses, but we've been with the politicians. It's critical to be with the politicians, because they're passing bills in our state, and we need to let them know what's going on in the state and what's necessary and what we know, and we sort of go back and forth, and we try to get, you know, some kind of legislation going. We've worked with the police, the school system, from counselors, school nurses, teachers, parents, principals, to superintendents. Then we also work with the media, from TV to radio, not to mention a few of the many organizations that we've worked with. One is NAMI, the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill, the Mental Health Association, the Mental Hygiene Administration, and the Maryland Transportation Authority, which are the big people for the bridges. So we've been around, and I've been doing this, as I said, 17 years, but Speak started in 1999, and so that's what we've been making, like I said, major strides here. We also believe, Speak, that it's of the utmost importance that we begin as early as in kindergarten to plant the seed, helping a child feel good about themselves and others, and to have self-respect and for others. Because teaching them at a young age, to me, is critical, because when they hit high school and we go in and we're trying to help kids to have respect for others and to feel good and the bullying issues, they're not going to have it if we don't plant that seed when they're very young. We also
where it would make quite a difference, a child taught early on. I still find it difficult to believe that 5 and 6 year olds can contemplate and carry out suicide.
Yeah, run into the traffic, jump out of a window.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This goes on, and it's unbelievable. And as I said, people just can't believe it's happening. We also, Mr. Clark, talk with kids, and we teach the kids not to keep secrets. We think that's very important, because especially if a child knows someone, or a teen or whatever, knows someone that is going to complete suicide, I say, because we don't want to say commit, because they didn't commit a crime, but with, that they're going to complete suicide, we want them to go tell someone. We tell them it's better to lose that friendship than their friend. And that's something that is very, very important that we do discuss with young people. To help them save lives of others and to get help.
What's your 800 number again, Lisa?
The one here in Maryland is 1-800-422-0009.
Okay.
But because of these accomplishments, Maryland takes the lead when bringing suicide prevention to the forefront. I believe we are on the up and up. And there's something, we have a wonderful board, and we have a wonderful, advisory board, and we have one lady on that I would like to recommend a book that she's written. She's fantastic. Her name is Beverly Cobain, and she is Kurt Cobain, who is Nirvana, that passed away, that had killed himself's cousin. And both she and Jean Larsh, a friend of hers, as a co-author, have written a book called Dying to Be Free for Survivors, for Suicide Survivors. And I think that's so important that they know that, you know, they can, when you have this happen, you're like in limbo. You don't know, you know, you're in shock. You don't even know what's going on. And you're thinking, my gosh, this can only happen to me. But really, there's so many people out there that it happens to, that until we go to a support group, you know, for a survivor support group, and you walk in the door and you see others and you know they've lost someone, then you're able to understand that this is going on, because a lot of people don't want that word entered into the vocabulary. And at one time, I was that way. I didn't want the word, the S word, suicide, entered into my life. And then when my sister shot herself, there we go. Then it's there. And it's, you know, I had a choice to either sit down and lay down and cry all day or get up and do something to help save others. But I think it's important for them to know there are places for help, you know, with books and support groups. But I also wanted to state that one of the founders of Speak, her son, Christopher, hung himself shortly after he returned home from serving on the front lines during the Persian Gulf War. And we are very concerned about our vets and their high rate of suicide. You know, I would really like to state that any vet that is listening to this program, I would like to thank them from the bottom of my heart for, you know, what putting their life down on the line for our country. And I want to God bless them and tell them that I'm, you know, they're in my thoughts and my prayers. I have a nephew, actually, that's leaving in about 3 weeks to Afghanistan. So he'll be going to, you know, going over.
Well, you know, when you go to in the military, it is a stressful situation. You're away from your family, and it put an undue hardship on all families of the participants, people going overseas, and you know, it's something that they need to be screened when they return home a lot better than what they are. I think they need to be. Go through a mustering out that's proper for screening for depression and PTSD and traumatic brain injuries and things like that. And
yes. There are some stats here that I had that they really disturbed me, because, you know, they're pertaining to the vet suicides, and, you know, people just have no idea what's going on, and they need to be aware of this. 18 American veterans kill themselves every day. 18. I mean, I'm reading these. I'm like, I can't believe what I'm even reading or hearing. 1,000 former soldiers receiving care from the Department of Veterans Affairs attempt suicide every month. That's every month. More veterans are completing suicide than dying in combat overseas. And veterans afflicted with post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury face higher risks of psychological problems and for attempting suicide. And so right now, we need to bring this to the forefront about our men and women coming back and getting the correct care, as you just said, Mr. Clark. I've done a little bit of research in the Army and the different, I'll start with the Army. The Army has a program called Suicide Aid Life. And it's Aid Life, which is ask for A, I is intervene immediately. D is don't hesitate, not to keep a secret. L is to locate help. I is to inform the chain of command. F is to find someone, and E is to expedite. And so the Army has a program, as well as they do the ASSIST program. And I took the ASSIST training program myself. It's a two-day training for caregivers to become willing and ready to be able to provide emergency first aid to persons at risk of suicide. So it teaches you, like you have a person playing the part of a person that's going to kill themselves and the other person. It's a role-playing type thing, or, you know, where we do different things where we reverse roles and different things like that. And this has really, really been big and helped a lot of people also. So those are two things that I have down here for the Army. Now, the Marines I have as have an annual suicide awareness training for all Marines, which includes the training kit for suicide prevention called Taking Action, Saving Lives, that is available to them also. And they also have a pocket guide for managing Marines in distress. And, you know, we say that I've always heard that the Marines had a higher rate of suicide, is what I've been told, but everybody is seeming to really start understanding that this is a tragedy. And when we lose someone, there's so many people left behind then that we have to deal with also. The Navy I have has something called Combat Operational Stress Control, which is COSC. It's a program. And it works to deal with the effects of combat stress as the PTSD. And our sailors returning from combat. So the Navy has that program. And the Air Force has a suicide prevention program, which have 11 initiatives. So they all seem to be really trying to address this issue. There's also something that I'm very big into that I've checked into, and I actually did this myself, but it's called EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And what it is the patient attends, sits with a person, you know, their doctor, and they sort of go over their past and their present experiences in a brief sequential in order. And then there are 8 phases of this treatment plan. And when this plan is completed, they generally report that the emotional distress related to their memory has been eliminated, or that it greatly increases them, helping them in order to move forward in a healthy fashion. So this is something that I know that the VA has talked about and has been discussed. It's called EMDR, and I think this is something that we need for our vets coming back, or our vets period, at any time, because they need, you know, a lot of times that they may have to walk through that and go and try to work through that in order to move on. So I feel it's also critical when the vets return home that they must be debriefed. And they need to go through depression screening, as you said, Mr. Clark. That's critical. And then follow up with another screening. You can't just go to one screening and think that's going to do it. You've got to follow up with these men and women. The vet's depression may not surface right away. It may take some time for that to come out. So by going with these screenings, I think it's going to help. I think it's going to help decrease our rate of suicide among our vets. Also, legislation is being passed in the U.S. for vets getting help, and especially when this is a matter of life and death situation, that we need to be passing legislation to protect the vets. They're out there fighting to keep us safe, and we need to keep them safe.
Absolutely. I know Congressman Filner I don't know if he has a bill in the works or plans to put a bill in the works. I've I think it's in the planning where they do debrief these veterans coming back from war zones properly. They're not being properly mustered out of the service, and the DOD is putting all the responsibility on the VA, which is ill-equipped, and they don't want that much to do with it. So I believe he's going to introduce legislation that will take care of that.
That's wonderful.
And this is one of his pet peeves, is suicide rates among veterans, because he feels there's no excuse for it. The help is there. They just need to utilize it.
That's wonderful. We also, Mr. Clark, know that there are support groups that are, I think there should be support groups that are there for these vets and their families, helping them work through the issues that they may encounter. I mean, it's critical when they come back that they have somewhere they can go. And we also have to understand this is a ripple effect. When we lose a vet by suicide, there may be family members, friends, coworkers, whatever, left behind to cope with the pain and heartache of losing the individual that they've lost so tragically. And if the survivor left behind doesn't go get help themselves, from counseling to support groups, etc., they too could also go down that same road to suicide, especially being that they have experienced post-traumatic stress disorder. And that also goes with children. Look at some of the vets coming home to their families, and they have children. And then they bury their dad. They bury their mother. And if this isn't addressed, we have that ripple effect. We're going to be losing more beautiful people by suicide. So that's why it's critical for us to start doing anything and everything, being vocal, as you are, which I want to thank you for helping to do everything you are to bring this out to the forefront, Mr. Clark.
Is there any data on veterans' children that have committed suicide? Do you know of any data on that?
I actually do not, but I do know from the one lady that one of the founders of Speak that, you know, she was discussing this with me because we were talking about her Christopher, and she had told me, she said, you know, Lisa, she said, it is not just, you know, when we lose our loved one, like she lost her son that had come home from the military and then he killed himself, but her whole family then endures, you know, all the pain and tries to deal with this. And, you know, it's been 17 years that my sister shot herself, and this year, for some reason, in July, was the hardest year I've had with my sister's death. I don't know why. So if we don't deal with something as it happens, and we just put it aside, it can come back to haunt us. And that is really important, too. We need to address that issue ASAP and try to deal with it, because by, just as I said, keeping a secret and just ignoring it isn't going to help it. So, and I, unfortunately, I don't have that data, but we do know that when you lose a person by suicide, as I did with my sister, I today have post-traumatic stress disorder. And I do know that it's at times it's very hard to deal with.
Well, I hope you're getting treatment for it.
Oh, yeah, I've been for treatment. I've been for treatment, and I will honestly say that. I've been for treatment, and I've been through EMDR, and that also is good for people that have lost loved ones by suicide, because it walks you through of what happened to try to deal with that in order to help you to go move forward. So, yes, I get treatment. I believe in treatment. I think it's critical to have treatment, because there have been times myself where I have to honestly say I almost went down that road of suicide, and I am just blessed to be here today and to be able to help other people to live and to experience life and to see their grandchildren or just to be with their children. And, you know, it's wonderful. And I'm just I'm one of the blessed people, I could say.
Well, yes. And do you want to give that hotline number out? We're running short on...
Yes. The Maryland Crisis Hotline number is 1-800-422-4700. 422-0009, and that is for the state of Maryland. But there are all the other different numbers out there on the national level. The 1-800-TALK, I think it's 1-800-243-TALK, I think it is, and it is 1-800-TALK, T-A-L-K, and that is a number that is a national level, number on the national level that people can talk, and call in for help. So there are a lot of options out there for people, but we have to be aware of them. And that's why it's so wonderful you're doing this show, so we can make people aware of different things.
Well, Lisa, we're out of time here right now. This half hour went by so fast.
It did.
I would like to invite you to come back on. I know the audience enjoyed it because I'm sitting here looking at the chat room. We can get you back on sometime. I'll get with you, and we'll try to set up another date.
That would be wonderful, and I want to thank you and thank the audience for listening. And if you would need us for anything, we are speakforthem.org, speakforthem.org. I'd be glad to help anybody out that needs help.
Okay, sure. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll be back.
Take care.
Thank you.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
For the people in our military, it's a time of sacrifice and duty. That's why all four military aid societies have joined together to form the Armed Forces Relief Trust to help military families cope with financial and medical emergencies at home. With so many serving overseas, the need is greater than ever. You can learn more and donate at www.afrtrust.org. A message from the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Are you looking for an internet radio station with a unique blend of talk radio and an eclectic musical flavor? Join Stardust Radio today at www.stardustradio.com, where talent and technology meet.
Yes, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the SBR broadcast, and we're here with Dana Morgan. Dana, you in there with us?
Yep, I'm here.
How are you sounding good? You have a outreach program. You want to explain that a little bit to the audience?
Sure, I can do that. We're known as Point Man International Ministries. We've got over 300 small support groups across the United States and around the world. And what we do is we meet periodically with other veterans. We talk about our PTSD issues, how we're getting along in life, what we can do to help one another out. It's very, very, very low-key. If someone's got some kind of a disaster going on, we find help for them, whether it's at the VA or a private doctor or a clergy person. We're a Christian organization. We're, of course, spiritually based. And we'll pray and we just get together and people are helped.
Now, you deal a lot with homeless veterans as well as veterans that's under quite a bit of stress. Do you not have a toll-free number?
Yes, we do. It's 1-800-877-8387. 8387 is the numbers for the letters VETS. That's 1-800-877-8387. And what you just asked about homeless, we've got a couple places across the country where homeless can come. They're more like day drop-in centers.
Yeah.
We'll feed you. One of the guys helps people find jobs, get you cleaned up into a house. We're all volunteers, so we do this without any money. So we're just vets helping out other vets.
Yeah.
We've got a place in Louisiana that was pretty well destroyed in the last big hurricane, but they're back up and running. And someone had given them a motel, and then it refurbished it and took in homeless folks. And we don't ask who you are or what you did or anything like that, so... Like I said, it's really pretty low-key.
Have you noticed in the last couple of years an increase in veterans' needs out there on the streets?
No, I think it's remained pretty well constant. There's some statistic that the National Council of Mayors says there's about 210,000 to 200,000 homeless veterans on the street at any one time. There's one of our outposts is in in Colorado Springs, and there's several military bases there and a lot of homeless vets out on the street. And those guys, they call themselves Church in the Street, and they're just out helping folks out that won't come into a church and won't come into anywhere to get help. But their needs are being met out on the road.
Hi, Lance. How do you function? I mean, how do you operate? Do you accept donations, I'm sure?
Oh, sure we do. We've got, like I said, the 800 number. If you need to find someone that's close by, you can call that number. You can look on our website. And each one of the, we're a 501c3 organization, so we're tax exempt and we can receive donations and give you a tax receipt. So that's all on the up and up. And you can contact us, contact our headquarters, which is in Springbrook, New York. All that information's on our website.
Okay. You want to give your website out here?
You know, I knew you were going to ask me. www.emim.org.
emim.org.
PMIM.
Oh, PMIM.
Yep, stands for Point Man International Ministries.
.org. Okay, yeah, we have that up. And should anyone wish to make a donation or something, then they can contact your.
Right, that's right. And if there's someone closer by to them and they want to meet with them, you know, and get to know what we do, we can arrange that, too.
Okay. Now, you mentioned, what was it? How many did 300 outlets?
We've got a bunch in Africa. There's probably 50 in Africa altogether. There's all kinds of turmoil going on there.
Oh, yes.
We've been invited by different governments to come and help train their military about how to deal with PTSD.
I would imagine this type of work would really take a toll on the volunteers.
It does. It's not easy, especially if someone calls it's contemplating a suicide. And sometimes they're on the phone all night long. Other times guys have went and met the person. One time, I believe, in North Carolina, one of our guys had met a guy out in the woods who would not come in, but he was very, very sick. And eventually, he gained his trust enough to get him into the VA where he could get medical help, and then, of course, some mental health.
Oh, yeah.
Also.
That would be some pretty risky business there.
Well, the guy had a machete, and he hung on to it the whole time that our guy was speaking to him. But eventually, he got to where he trusted them, but they spent 3 days just going back and forth, and then eventually talked them down, and that was it. So, yeah, it's one of the things we do. One of our big thing is our meeting. We have people, they congregate once a week or once a month or once every other week, and they just come in, and it's hard to explain what you do, but people walk away and say they're helped. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but
sometimes
it's sort of like an AA meeting for people with PTSD, if that's a good analogy.
If you have vets that are not service connected, you attempt to get them service connected. I imagine a lot of vets that haven't even.
Some of our outpost leaders are veteran service officers, but we don't have VSOs of our own because we've got such a variety of people.
Yeah.
And we'd want them all to be trained the same way. And our guys that are VSOs are usually in like an American Legion or the VFW or something like that, in addition to our group.
So the main thing is...
We encourage people to get help.
Oh, I bet, yeah. And now, if someone wanted to volunteer, they would just contact your website or...
Right. We've got a little form you can fill out, and then what happens is I'll get an email, I'll contact you, and then we go from there. We've got a little application process. We want outpost leaders that are veterans, and you'd need to show us your DD-214. And we want you to be under the cover of a local pastor so you don't get off on some bunny trail spiritually.
Oh, I see.
You know, there's a lot of strange doctrine flying around, and you can get just as messed up that way as when you came in the door if you're hearing goofiness.
And working with a pastor is really good, too, so...
Now, some of our guys are actually ordained ministers, and most of them are just vets that got helped, and now they want to help someone else.
Yeah.
So those are the two big things, and then you have to fill out the paperwork for the government, you know, for the IRS, but other than that, that's about it.
Roughly about how many veterans do you help out a year? I mean, do you have any idea? I know they come and go on you.
No, they come and go. It's, I think Mike Harris's group might have up to 40 people in it, and probably 20 are like a core group, and there's people float in and out. We've got a fellow in Ohio that's got, he has 3 meetings a week, and each meeting caters to like a different problem.
Oh, I see.
And some guys may only talk to one or two people, and they meet them out in a coffee shop or someplace. So it's a real variety of individuals. And each place is autonomous, so that means they're pretty much on their own as far as how they're structured. We've got a guidebook and a manual that we give each member so they know how to, you know, have general guidelines, but kind of let God do it. You know, since you don't want to stand in the way of that. Somebody comes in with a problem, you deal with this problem first, and then everything else can be dealt with later on.
I suspect you got to call it as it is at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
You have to be real discerning about what's going on.
Yeah.
Now, I really enjoyed your previous guest. I thought she was right on the money.
She was really good, wasn't she? And she went after this. She had lost her sister and got herself involved in suicide prevention, and she really went all out. Lisa's done a terrific job there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Now, I know... We do a lot of things with folks that have PTSD, and then they kind of, people that have PTSD don't seek help, don't do anything about it, pretty soon they're into some kind of depression, and that leads to suicide.
Absolutely. I was reading an article where it said depression being untreated is the largest cause of suicide there is. I mean, you have to treat that depression or it will get to you. So there's nothing wrong with going to the doctor and getting medication for depression. And even if you need some counseling, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I don't believe there is either. If you need the medication to get sort of on an even keel, and then you can deal with whatever the issues are.
Oh, yeah.
If you've already kept yourself, that's it. It's done. It's over. There's nothing you can do.
I mean, your options are zero then. And
we had a guy come to one of our meetings and said, you guys are the last house on the block. He said, I've tried everything else that I've known. He said he was going to the VA for 19 years. He took, I'll bet, maybe 20 different kinds of pills and medications. They never took them off the old ones when they'd give them new ones.
Oh, I see.
So he became a real pharmacologist, and however he wanted to feel, he'd mix and match this stuff and pass out for a day or 2 days or whatever. Well, finally, he came to one of our meetings, and he kept coming back and coming back, and then he went to another meeting we had in Michigan, and he got saved. And the next thing you know, he was didn't need his drugs anymore, and it really scared him because he'd been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
And that was it. But, you know, we've got a lot of good stories. People that, a guy came to one of our meetings, was driving down the interstate. Our very first meeting that we had here in New York, and he heard a little ad on a radio station that we were going to meet. And while he was driving on the interstate, he had 9mm stuck in his mouth. And he turned off on Route 400, came to where we were, and he didn't say any of that till the following week. But he came back, and that was it. I mean, he still had issues to deal with, but we worked them out together.
Yeah, you know, everybody's got issues, and they all work them out differently.
Mm-hmm.
During the depressed state, it makes it more difficult because a lot of times you're not thinking as clearly as you should.
No, that's true. And I think that the folks around you... Now, I think your previous guest, she was talking about guys coming home from the war zone and things like that. I found a whole laundry list of stuff that, you know, we could talk about, things to look for and things of that nature, if you'd like to.
Yeah, what are some of the clues you look for? Because the VA is certainly not catching them. It's going to be left up to the family unit to catch them and say, hey, something's not right here. Let's.
You're a Vietnam veteran, right, Cheryl?
I was a Vietnam Air.
Okay.
Didn't actually go to Vietnam, no.
Oh, okay. When I was in Vietnam, you know, I was in the Marine Corps, and the things we did talk about was going back to the world, how you were going to act, what were you going to do, how great everything was going to be, how things would be just perfect, and they'd be just the opposite of everything that was happening to you. Your friends were very, very close to you. You depended on them basically for your life. Then when you got home, next thing you know, nobody could understand anything, why you were so hyper alert and you're always looking over your shoulder and over their shoulder and driving too fast and doing crazy things and going to bars and fighting your way out. All of those things were just foreign to your family. So the family either ignored you or didn't have anything to do with you.
Yeah.
And really, they wanted to do something, but they didn't know what to do. Now, you've got these young guys that are coming home, and young women, too, feel the same way. So if you're a family member and your loved one is talking about how hopeless things are and they always have anger issues, rage, they just blow up for no reason, the risky business that I just talked about, driving too fast. Nowadays, you're driving too fast because you're worried about an IED is going to blow up your vehicle. You're running red lights and going through stop signs, and of course that alerts the police that you're not such a good risk on the highway, and then you got those issues. You can feel like you're trapped, like there's no way out. You start self-medicating, taking all kinds of illegal drugs, plus the stuff the VA gives you. Alcohol, you mix it with that. You withdraw from your friends, and you say to yourself, the only ones that know is another brother or sister from my war zone activities. You just get worked up over nothing. You're anxious. You can't sleep, or you sleep all the time. You got horrible mood swings. And then you say to yourself, there's no reason for living, and there's no sense of purpose in your life. So it's where the support groups come in that your previous guest was talking about. You got to get into something like that, and you got to get out. So now the family members, you want to look for your loved one saying, I'm going to hurt myself, or I'm going to kill myself, and they're busy looking for ways to do it.
Yeah.
And you're looking for access to pills, weapons, guns, what have you. And some people, we just talk and write about death and dying and suicide all the time. It's just bad. What can you do that could alleviate some of that stuff is the positive social support. That's the small groups. Spirituality, what's that mean? Well, it means an awful lot to a lot of different people. In our case at Point Man, we believe the spiritual component of your life is a relationship with Jesus Christ. You get that, and you're well on your way. But you also have a sense of responsibility to your family. So if you're still thinking about it, you're being rational, and you're weighing the cost. You know, what if I do this as opposed to what if I don't? What about my children? How are they going to live? How are they going to survive without me? So you don't do it. You have children in a home, or maybe your wife is pregnant. These are things that will decrease the risk because now you're focused on something else besides your problem. Reality testing, what's that? That's you can determine what's real and what's not. A flashback, you're driving down the road and you're in Baghdad. Well, you know you're not in Baghdad, you're on Interstate 90. But you got to be able to separate the difference. And so that's where your support group comes in. That's where going to the VA comes in. Talking to others, talking to your pastor, you got to do it. Positive problem-solving skills, there's one. Everything's a problem in life. It's how you deal with it is how you overcome it. What's a therapeutic relationship? That's another thing that will help decrease your risk. Is that your relationship with your doctor, your friends, your pastor? Just being able to talk out what's going on is critical to your survival. And that's where your family members, without nagging, have to encourage you to seek those kind of relationships.
I would imagine that if you're talking with your pastor and your doctor, that's a big step forward. You got to recognize yourself that you do have a problem and you need some help. I think so many times people just wait for someone to say, "Hey, you need some help."
Yep, and you're not going to believe it unless some other vet tells you if you're too far down the road.
Yeah, you only accept that explanation from someone you trust and feel comfortable with, you know, that knows what you're talking about. You do need help. You need someone in the right position to let you know you need help, and there's nothing wrong with asking for it.
No, there is not. If you're a person that's already, now I'm talking to family members, if your loved one is already in a position where they're sitting in the other room and they're ready to do it, or they're talking about it, call the police, have them come, do whatever's got to be done. Family member might be upset, but they're still going to be breathing the next day.
Yeah, you don't want to wait till after the fact, because then there's nothing you can do.
I was talking to someone on the West Coast. It must have been 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning here. And I said, you got another phone? And they said, yeah. I said, well, call this number, the Suicide Prevention Line, and see if you can get some help from them. It's a number that the VA has or that they publish, and that would be 1-800-273-8255. And the lady called, and they told her, well, call the police. We can't do anything because it was already to the point where maybe yes, maybe no.
Oh, yeah. I imagine you reach that point.
And I could hear him operating a slide on his handgun. You know how a 9mm has that clicking sound when you move the slide on the top of it to chamber around.
Well, that would be a tough one. Yeah, there wouldn't be much else you could do but call the police.
And the police are trained to deal with those kind of situations. And that's what they do. And they're experts, and we're not. So when it comes to that point, that's what you got to do. And your previous lady, you know, she said that.
Yeah.
And she was dead on. So I was real happy to hear what I could hear of her.
Yeah, she's been in this long enough. She knows the do's and don'ts, and we're not trained psychiatrists or psychologists, and we can't go in there and our best hope is to get someone there that can help.
And that's what we try and do.
Yes, and that's...
I get calls on New Year's Eve from guys thanking me for saving their life. And I say, what do you mean? He said, well, remember 5 years ago on New Year's Eve I called you and we talked and I was committing suicide and I'm still here. So we're doing some good. And these are all folks that have some level of PTSD that's progressed so negatively that they just want to end it, and there's no reason for that.
I have a feeling that the VA has put such a stigma on depression and PTSD, and although they have made strides, I don't believe they've made enough. They need to address the subject more than what they have. I just don't feel they're doing enough, and obviously they're not doing enough because they have so many in-house suicides. So they're missing the boat somewhere.
I think they're trying to change, but there's such a huge bureaucracy that I think the patients fall through the cracks. I really do. I think there's too much at the top and not enough at the bottom.
I don't know what the problem is, but somewhere there they're missing something. Or if we have twice the suicide rate for veterans than you do a normal population, there's something seriously wrong. And where's it at? What's the problem? I don't know. Are they doing enough to address this problem?
One of our outposts, that's what our groups are called, is in Topeka, Kansas, and they participate in the VA's PTSD program. It's a 7-week in-house program, and our people are participants, and they deal with the spiritual issues of PTSD. And that particular program is very, very successful. They've had thousands of graduates, and the recidivism rate is very low. You got other VAs that we can't even get into to talk to a patient.
Oh, yeah.
So it goes from that extreme to another extreme. And our outpost has been involved in the Topeka VA since 1997, I think. So we participate there once a week for a meeting that they have.
Well, that's good, and it sounds like it's a successful program.
No, it is. And, of course, all the VAs don't talk to each other. And I recommended someone, you know, to see if they could get into that program. And their VA counselors had never even heard of it.
That's unusual. You would think they would know of such program.
Now here in Buffalo and Batavia, I think their program is 4 weeks. And the Buffalo VA used to have a program, but now they don't.
Oh, I see.
They've got, it's like a detox program. It doesn't last very long. Then they ship you off to Batavia.
Oh, somewhere else. Dana, we've run out of time here. My land's at 30 minutes. It went by fast.
My goodness. I didn't mean to talk so fast and so long. But I guess I filled up my space. Well, I was glad to talk to you, and thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and look forward to having you on again.
Sounds great. I'm going to try and get back on the computer here and listen to the rest, so.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
All right.
Thanks a lot, Gerald.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a short break right here.
Okay. Bye.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Six. That's the number. 6 out of 10 Americans are now in debt. So if you're in trouble with debt, you're not alone. If your credit card bills are piling up, call Consolidated Credit now. The Freedom Quest program from Consolidated Credit can get the credit card companies to reduce or eliminate your interest. They'll consolidate your bills into one easy payment, and they'll cut your monthly payments by up to 50%. They're the experts, and that's why over 5 million people have called Consolidated Credit. 6 out of 10 people may be in debt, but one call to Consolidated Credit can get you out. They're the freedom people. Only Consolidated Credit has the Freedom Quest program. Call now. 1-800-282-3049. 1-800-282-3049. Consolidated Credit. When credit card debt is the problem, they're the solution. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Licensed by New York State Banking Department. Licensed Debt Management Service Provider, Maryland 149.
If credit card debt is making your life miserable and you're tired of living from paycheck to paycheck, get ready for a toll-free number that will change your life. Trinity Debt Management has been helping people just like you cut their interest rates by as much as 60% and increase their credit scores by up to 200 points. Trinity's counselors will explain the entire program with no pressure. Call Trinity today at 800-783-7760. 800-783-7760. Get a fresh start. For free information, call 800-783-7760.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Recent revelations in the news have revealed an unacceptable picture of the way our government treats our veterans. We have a moral and ethical obligation to our veterans to ensure they receive quality and accessible health care. Sadly, we have fallen short of this goal. And this is Willie Nelson asking everyone across the nation to unite for the common good of our veteran population. Together, we can do so much better.
www.offe2008.org.
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We've had a technical difficulty. We're trying to get hooked up with our next guest speaker. And,
Keep going.
Oh, okay. And her name is Janet Kemp. She's a PhD with the National Suicide Hotline. Her number is, the Suicide Hotline number is 800-73-8255.
Okay.
Janet, you here with me?
I am.
Oh, okay. We had a little problem, technical problem there getting hooked up through the switchboard. But you're here with us now. I've just given out your 800 number. It's 800-273-8255. Now, you're the national director of the VA Suicide Hotline?
I am. My official title is I'm the National VA Suicide Prevention Coordinator. But I do manage the hotline, and I work with the suicide prevention coordinators that are located all across the country in each one of our facilities.
How many people do you have working for you? I mean, do you work strictly volunteer, or are you have salaried personnel?
No, we're all salaried personnel. There are 156 suicide prevention coordinators across the country. There's one at each medical center, and we're beginning to add them in some of our community-based clinics and other clinics across the country.
So you're still in the growing mode.
We are. We've actually had the program in place for about 18 months now. And have found it to be extremely successful, and these folks have been doing a wonderful job, and so we just asked for and were granted additional resources to actually double their numbers out in the field.
Oh, that is wonderful. Let me give out a toll-free number here at the station. It's 1-877-213-4329. That number, once again, it's a toll-free number, is 877-213-4329, should you have a question or a comment for Janet, and we'll be glad to hear from you. Now, do you expect this to continue to grow? Imagine 157 nationwide, it could stand to be quite a bit larger.
Well, I think that, their primary purpose is to really help veterans who want and need care and who are having difficulties and may be feeling suicidal or in distress. To really help them get the care that they need at their facilities. And we're hoping that that they will continue to call us and use us Another one of their roles is, though, to get out into the communities and provide people with the number that they can call and ways that they can get help, and really help everyone recognize maybe when people are in trouble or having difficulty, and encourage them to get help at the VA. So we're really hoping to form some partnerships with the communities and veterans groups already out there to help us get these folks some help who need it.
Oh, yes. When you need help, you need it right then and there. And I imagine that does present a problem, especially with a relatively new organization such as yours. You still have a long way to go to get it up to snuff and providing all the services that you want to provide.
And we're really relying on you all out there to help get the hotline number out and the idea out that there are people at the VAs who can help, and to encourage veterans who are having trouble to use us.
Oh, yes. We've been promoting your hotline, suicide hotline number for some time here on the SBR broadcast, as well as other shows, radio shows here with Stardust Network. And so we're trying to get the word out best we can, and it is working.
Right, you're doing a great job.
We have a caller here, Berta from New York. Berta, you in there with us? Berta.
Hello.
Yes, Berta, you in?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Thank you, Mrs. Kemp, for coming on the show tonight. I'm sort of affiliated with the local Bath VAMC down here in the southern tier of New York, and they were quite excited about the program when I passed the word, and hopefully some of their mental health employees are listening in tonight to you and to the show. They are going to send me some more literature in case Stardust does future shows. And they will hear the show in archives when it gets there if they're not actually tuned in to us tonight. What I wanted to ask you is I have Dr. Kussman's letter in front of me. It was an excellent letter. And, of course, that I believe he sent to every veteran who probably has PTSD. I don't know how they determined what veterans receive these letters. And my question is, this is the letter regarding the warning signs for family members and veterans themselves.
Right, uh-huh.
That you're so familiar with. And I wonder, are all of our young, newly returning Iraq and Afghanistan men and women getting these letters also if they are in the VA healthcare system? And also, next week is the National Suicide Prevention Week for the VA, so it's just great to have you here tonight.
Well, thank you very much. In answer to your question, all of our new enrollees in all of 2007 got those letters. The suicide prevention coordinators at all of the sites also have a lot of materials and handouts that they would be more than willing to share with community organizations that have that information on it about warning signs and when to get help for someone that you care about. And I would also be glad to get materials out to people if they need them. So it's the right time. It is Suicide Prevention Awareness Week coming up, and hopefully we can make a difference in some people's lives.
I certainly hope so, and I think shows like Stardust Radio, supporting the efforts of the VA and of our other guests that we have on, can make a difference. And I'm hoping, actually the Bath VA called me today, and so they'd be sending me some literature, and I'm hoping that this literature gets to every American Legion post and every VFW hall and wherever the DAV meets, because they certainly should be aware of this, too, within their membership. So I'm not going to hold up the show, but thank you very much for coming to SBR tonight, Mrs. Kemp. Thank you for all you're doing for veterans.
Thank you. You know, and on that note, the we have developed a what we call a Operation Save training program that across the country have available to them to take out to community organizations such as, you know, American Legions and other veterans service organizations, which would is really kind of face-to-face training on how to help people recognize when veterans might be in trouble. And if you'd like more information about that, anyone, I'd be glad to provide that.
Well, yes, we'd like more information on it because that's going to be crucial, and I imagine we're going to be doing some more broadcast on suicide and suicide prevention here. So it's quite important that we have all the data and the facts that we possibly can.
Okay. I will get that out to you.
Now, do you feel that the DOD is doing everything that they can for the new vets being discharged out, mustered out of service? Do you feel that they should be doing more?
You know, I'm really not able to talk about that because I'm not really aware of everything that's happening. I do know that they've made huge strides over the past few years in doing things differently, and I do know that we're working together a lot to get information out. But I'm just not familiar enough with what they do, and I know they have different policies and procedures depending on the branch of the service and the circumstances to even discuss that.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. Our job really starts when they are out of the service, and our role is to really provide that outreach and information so that they know we're there and can get help from us when they need it.
Have you found that? I imagine you get every type of call under the sun, not only just suicide attempts, but other issues too, don't you?
We do. We've had in the year that we've been open, we've had over 60,000 calls. We're averaging around 225 up to 250 a day. And there's a huge variety of people who call us with a huge variety of needs. People of all age groups call us, our young returning veterans, as well as veterans from every era. We have a lot of veterans from the Vietnam War who call, as well as some World War II veterans. And they have lots of different needs. Some of them are in a crisis situation. Some of them actually have either taken pills or have a gun in their hand or are standing on a bridge somewhere ready to jump, and we've been able to send out emergency services to help them. Others are just depressed or lonely, thinking about ending their lives, and we've been able to get them referred and to get them some help. And then others have a variety of other needs that we can also help with so that they don't turn into crises. And our goal is to help folks early on in their process before it becomes a crisis situation, before they become suicidal, and to just improve the quality of life of people who are having trouble.
What about homeless veterans? Do you get many calls from homeless veterans that are just at wit's end? They don't know which direction to turn.
You know, we have gotten some calls from homeless people, and actually, we've found that if if one homeless person calls and gets some help, they very often will give the cell phone to their buddy next to them and have them call too. So we've tried to get the number out to homeless shelters across the country and other places where homeless people might congregate, so that we can reach out to them.
So this suicide hotline here, this 800-273-8255 number is turning into quite a number. It's going to for more than one issue.
Right. I think what it does is it really provides a avenue for veterans to get help who maybe aren't real comfortable walking into a VA or calling a facility and trying to find the right person on the other end of the phone who could help them. It's kind of an easy access mechanism, which is proving to be invaluable for people.
Oh, yes. The easier the access, the more response you're going to get to it, and people get to where they trust it and know it's a good number.
Right. The other option on the number is that, you know, we don't require that people tell us who they are, and we have found out that whole issue of trust is pretty important. And lots of times people will call the hotline a couple times before they will agree to a referral and tell us who they are. And that's okay. That's what we're there for.
Do you have a group of ready, available psychiatrists or sociologists that you can refer groups to, to individuals to?
Right. We actually, the phones themselves are answered by mental health professionals. All of the phones are answered either by mental health nurses or social workers or certified counselors or therapists. And so right when you call, you have access to a trained mental health person. And then if people need more help than that, we do refer them back to their suicide prevention coordinators at each facility who can make sure they get appointments with the social workers or psychologists or psychiatrists that they need to see in their local areas. So, we're able to do that quickly and efficiently. And we're also able to check back the next day to make sure that it happened, so people don't slip through the cracks and those referrals don't get lost. So it's a pretty tight system.
What's the percentage, men, male versus female, of veterans calling in? Is it pretty well equal? I imagine there's more males, so.
There are more men calling. Which is somewhat different, of course, than community crisis lines, but I think it makes sense considering that there are more male than female veterans. But we get a wide variety of both.
Janet, we have a caller online here. Judy, you in there with us?
I sure am, Gerald.
Do you have a question for Dr. Kemp?
I do. Dr. Kemp, hi, my name is Judy. I host another show here on Stardust Radio. In fact, we tried to get you on there, but your schedule was tied up. But I was wondering, I heard you mention that the people who do answer the phones on the hotline are trained professionals. And I wondered, with some of the groups who are members of America Support You, which interview a lot of the groups on United We Roll, and so we've gotten to know a lot of them. Some of them are mental health professionals who offer free counseling, and I'm wondering if you can draw from those groups to increase your numbers of volunteers on the hotline.
you know, we don't have volunteers on the hotline. They're all paid VA staff. And they're all employed by the VA. You know, we feel strongly that the VA is a healthcare organization, and we need to provide professional healthcare and the services that we do. But we certainly value and could use any volunteers in the suicide prevention effort at the local level. And I would really encourage people who are interested in volunteering and working with us to contact their local VA and talk with a suicide prevention coordinator there. And what we really need are for people to help work with veterans in the community and in places where veterans go to provide those sort of that buddy support. Lots of times we know that veterans will talk with other veterans feel like they're being understood and heard from. And if we can get those folks to help us and to help get the veterans who need us into care, it would be a remarkable thing.
Well, you know, and I heard you talking to Gerald that you do have information to pass out, and I'll be in touch with Gerald to see if I can get copied on that. We did, when we were doing research to start these segments on our shows, we did find the Army has an excellent site called WHOA for Health, and they had the buddy system linked on there. They listed all the different resources they used in order to put the information together, and there were excellent hints on there as far as, like you were mentioning earlier, making notice of the changes in the personalities and things that people were doing. And we will be talking more and more about this on both of our shows. I can't thank you enough for coming on. I'm going to get off because I know the show's about to wrap up and Gerald has more to talk about with you. But I wanted to thank you again for coming on and sharing the information that you have.
Well, thanks for having me. It's an honor.
Well, and Gerald's done a great job. And, Gerald, thank you so much. And I hope we're going to hear a lot more over the next few weeks.
I do. I'm sure we will, Judy, and I appreciate you calling in.
Okay, you take care. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Dr. Kemp, are there any particular parts of the country that you need help more than others?
I think we need help everywhere. Certainly in some of our more rural areas, maybe where the VA doesn't have a facility, we certainly need people out there spreading the word. And especially for folks out in these more less populated areas, that the phone number, getting the phone number out to them and making the phone number available, I think is one of the most important things we can do right now.
How much larger do you see your staff growing in the next year?
We would like to, right now we're handling all the calls that are coming in pretty easily. We started to do a lot more publicity and advertising about the numbers, so we think that the numbers of people who call will increase. And our goal would be to add lines as the numbers of calls increase. We currently have six lines, six people there, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, answering calls, and we envision probably growing by another four lines by the end of this year. A year ago, we started out with three lines, so we're kind of doubling things as time goes on.
That sounds good. You're going to be able to reach a larger population.
Right. Our goal is to answer every call, so we're working hard to do that.
Oh, absolutely. Now, and your outreach is including other necessities other than suicide prevention. It's someone's left out there kind of bewildered, don't know what direction to turn. Don't necessarily mean they're in a suicide mode, but you want to keep them out of that mode.
That's right. That's what it's all about, is preventing crisis. So trying to meet people's needs where they are is very important to us.
And so it sounds like you really got a grip on it. You're there in Washington tonight?
I am in Washington tonight. And we'll be going back to Canandaigua tomorrow.
Oh, okay. So it sounds like you've been a busy, you have a very busy schedule.
I do. It's been a busy year, but it's all been worth it.
Well, we're just about out of time here. Do you want to give your hotline number out again, or do you have a website?
You know, we don't have a website, but the number is prominently placed on the VA website. I would encourage people to use that. We also have a lot of handouts with the number on them, and hopefully everyone will be seeing those before too long. And what I will try to make available to you is the name and how to get in touch with all of the suicide prevention coordinators across the country so that people in their local areas can contact them and get materials to pass out wherever they are. So I will get that to you by the end of the week.
Hey, I certainly appreciate it. And with that, Dr. Kemp, I'm going to have to sign off because we're just out of time.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for having me, and I'll be glad to come back anytime.
Appreciate you coming on and sharing, sharing with us, and hopefully we can work together in the future.
We will, I'm sure.
This will be Gerald Cook with the SBR broadcast. We'll be signing off for tonight.
For the people in our military, it's a time of sacrifice and duty. That's why all four military aid societies have joined together to form the Armed Forces Relief Trust to help military families cope with financial and medical emergencies at home. With so many serving overseas, the need is greater than ever. You can learn more and donate at www.afrtrust.org. A message from the National Association of Broadcasters and this